Hello and welcome to MaliceCast Live Season 2, Episode 36 for the All Things Nerd Podcast. On tonight's show, we're going to be reacting to the Captain Marvel trailer. We're going to be talking about some of the photos and new information that we've seen for the Joker film that's coming.
Joker movie.
Yeah,
origin Joker story. Movie.
Origin. There we go. The Joker.
There we go. Movie.
Cinematic feature.
So somebody knew my non-pictionary, my charade skills.
This means origin story.
Exactly. We're going to do a new segment that is called Somebody's Got to Talk About It, with two little stories that are involved in there, and other stuff as well. So stay tuned, stick around, jump in the chat room if you're watching live, and talk with us all things nerd. Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. Mess5150 here with MaliceCast Live Season 2, Episode 36, the All Things Nerd Podcast on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp, live every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for joining us on tonight's cast. As always, you have me, Mess5150, here with you, joining us on the cast as well. Let's talk about the great geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados that are joining us. I see Zorro is joining us on the cast. How goes it, sir?
Whoa, I'm first this time. That never happens. Hi, guys.
I'm going with what name pops up in my head first.
Good, things are great, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Also joining us on the cast after a long hiatus, and we keep trying to get him to join us, but things have popped up where he hasn't been able to, and he's finally back with us. Igor, how goes it, sir?
Ah, there we go. Yeah, a lot of things have popped up. A lot of things. I mean, have you heard the latest Batman news? It's weird.
Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about that. That's part of the somebody's gotta talk about it. So also joining us on the cast, our female persuasion super Whovian freak. Hello.
It's going well. It's really funny though, when you look at Igor, it really does look like he's been gone away, like on a sojourn in the desert, communing with whatever, you know.
I was going to ask him how Wilson is.
Yeah, I was about to say the same.
A couple weeks ago. He didn't.
And last but not least, on the cast, we have Masonic Vader.
You know, I would say last but not least, but you said at the beginning, the first thing that popped your head, so apparently I'm the last person that popped in your head, and at least I don't look as homeless as Igor.
I talked to you so much because of figuring out when we're going to have you guys record Malice Smack Talk, our wrestling podcast. If you guys haven't checked that out, it is generally here on Twitch. You can also find it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/MaliceCorp. And if you want to find all of our stuff, make sure to go to our website that houses everything for us. It is malice-corp.com. That is who this podcast is brought to you by. Definitely check out malice-corp.com, where all of our podcasts are, and we'll get into details on some of those other podcasts as we go along through the show. What we like to start out with here is what we've been geeking out on. That's how we always start the show out. My personal geek out has been re-binging Luke Cage and going straight into Iron Fist, and I've gotten seven episodes into it, and I love season two of Iron Fist. I think they did a great job of fixing everything on it. So
a lot better.
Characters are fantastic. I love the actress that's playing Typhoid Mary. I think she does a phenomenal job. I even like the brother a lot in this
Ward
is, I really like his character in this season.
He's putting on a show for sure.
He's a good actor, and I thought he was one of the few good parts of season one, his character devolving with the drugs and then pulling himself back out to deal with his father. But he's a lot better this season.
Red Meepaw still says that she wants her life back by a millimeter.
She didn't like it. And that's fair, you know, if you really don't like the character or if you didn't like it, that's, you know. But it definitely
I don't think it was I don't think it was much as not liking the character as much as just the season sucked. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, this season's a complete 180 compared to what the other one was.
Big time. I wish that the first season would have came out being this strong. I think it's the fact that we're not getting pouty Danny Rand.
He's no longer emo teen Danny Rand in an adult body.
Yeah. So
I'm a monk.
Are you talking about Mary Walker? Is she supposed to be Typhoid Mary?
She's
like
supposed to be carrying, Typhoid Mary.
Like that's carrying over to Deadpool Typhoid Mary?
Yeah, that's how they introduced her at Comic-Con. Was they said that Typhoid Mary would be in this season. They haven't called her Typhoid Mary, but...
Right. I did not make that connection.
Yeah, well, the whole split personalities and yeah, so that's...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so... Moving on.
All of y'all clearly have never seen Kung Fu The Legend Continues. That's all I
know. Oh, yes, I have.
Then shut your beard hole.
I think I recognize you from one of those episodes, eh?
Yeah, it was the bartender who got shot in the fourth scene.
It's awesome. Okay. Let me slow down here. I was in such a rush to get onto this show and get it going. Let's talk to everybody else that's here on the cast. IC, what have you been geeking out on?
I'm actually a little bit resentful that I'm on this cast right now instead of continuing to play Spider-Man.
Oh,
it's so good. I had to pause it so that I could set my computer up for this cast. And I was like, the game is so good. It's the best of the Batman Arkham games combined with the best of the Assassin's Creed series. It's wonderful. If you like open world games, if you like sandbox games with good combat systems, this one's great.
Nice. Yeah, and then our other resident podcast host, the Big Papa Matt, who does comics all for
Nerd Mosh Pit. I listened to that today, actually. Yeah.
He does Nerd Mosh Pit, which is a fantastic cast that you guys should definitely check out. Stitcher, iTunes, over on mouse-corp.com. Touches on a lot of the other great nerd items that we're not able to get to ourselves. Along with that, he also hosts Comics for All, which is our comic book podcast that you have Igor as a part of to talk about some of the conversations that happen in lines at conventions or within comic book shops. So but definitely two great podcasts that you should be checking out when you're not here live with us.
I liked listening to you when you were guesting on it, nerding out on football for 20 minutes. That was great.
We actually talked about that. It was like, well, we're gonna have to put in a
big. There was a disclaimer at the beginning.
He's like, I'm gonna have to put a disclaimer because most of the people that listen to this don't usually listen to it for football talk. So, but it was fun. It was fun talking some football for 20 minutes with a couple other co-nerds. Mm-hmm. So, had a lot of fun.
It's always nice to hear another Vikings fan weigh in. So, shout out to Big Papa Matt there.
And Jack Malice was checking out Bleach on Netflix, the live action version, instead of doing Iron Fist.
Live action Bleach.
Yes.
Because Full Metal Alchemist and Death Note went so well.
Yeah. Well,
although to be fair, they were probably making them all at once. So, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, the Death Note one was actually done by Netflix in America. I believe from what I was talking to Sonamaku, and we actually talked about this, I believe on Nerd Mosh Pit. I don't know if it got cut out or not.
Yes, no, it was in there.
Okay. So they talk about like who made them and he watched them as well. So definitely check out Nerd Mosh Pit and check out their other episodes, not just for the one that I was on. Igor, what have you been geeking out on?
Oh man. Well, there's a big return for Mr. Wolverine, which I find pretty interesting, considering how many times he's died over the years. But, you know, whatever. The story was actually really, really best of Tom Clancy-esque getting him back this time, though. So,
has been pretty nice. Good. The return.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And man, it's three really fun looking movies. Haven't gotten to see them yet, but I'm looking forward to all three. The House of the Clock and its Walls, Kin, and Axel all look way too much fun.
When I saw trailers for House with a Clock and its Walls, is that like they seem to be alluding that it was a childhood book or something. When did that come out?
Yeah,
it was a book. A while ago. It was like early 80s, early 80s, maybe late 70s, but early 80s. Okay. John Belairs.
So it's just something that I missed then.
Yeah.
It looks
actually, I would not be surprised if you it's one of those things you picked up and went, oh, I remember that. Because it also had it wasn't even a series, but the author, I think it was actually Edward Gorey, tapped every time for illustrations, if that's ringing any bells. He had that. He had House with the Eyes of the Killer Robot, which is actually way creepier than you'd think, because the eyes aren't what you think.
Okay.
So I was surprised to see a very goofy, light touch with the movie, to the point that I thought, yeah, that got a little too goosebumps for me. But then I heard Kripke was actually at the helm, so I thought, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, there were a lot of good-looking parts in there.
Yeah, well, complete with Jack Black to connect the goosebumps in. Yeah,
true.
Nice. Yeah, I do want to check that out. So
I do, too. I think I want to see it.
Since you're speaking, Super, what have you been geeking out on?
I've been alternating between season 2 of Iron Fist, about 5 episodes in, and then I'm also rewatching some old episodes of Castle, because I miss that show, and it's a good show. And I forgot how great the early seasons were. Even though the later seasons were still good, it didn't have that same magic that seasons 1 through 4 had. So good. Yeah, good stuff there.
You and I were talking about Castle briefly the other night when we were comparing it to the In-Death series of books. And the more I think about what you said, yeah, that show seems like it was based on those, even though...
Well, there was one scene in season 2 of Castle, the scene where they find the girl in the water with the water shooting up. That's a direct pull from the In-Death books where they had... I don't remember which book it was.
That's the pilot of Castle, isn't it? Where they find her in the pool?
No, it was season 2. It was early season 2. Okay. It's the one with the modeling and the model dies. But I was just like, I remember watching that, and I'm like, dude, that's straight from the In-Depth book. So that's why I was like, they had to have had some kind of contract or something, you know, where they were pulling plots from there.
Nice.
If not, it would have been just way too big a coincidence.
Yeah.
And lastly, once again, I'm just going to make you last every time now, because then it'll feel like I'm really picking on you, Masonic. What have you been geeking out on, Masonic Vader?
Best for last, right? Best for last.
sure. If that's all you want.
Yeah, we'll call it that. So I was geeking out off of Iron Fist last week and watching the series. I was, like I said, 180 degrees compared to the first season. Really excited about what they're going to move forward to, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute because something came out the other day. Also excited about the Last Ship. I don't know if you guys watched that. That's a series on TNT. They just started up another season, and that's a what's that?
Is this the last season? I thought it was over.
I'm not sure. No. The new episode just came out the other day. I saw it on Hulu Live. 2 episodes actually deep. They're now messing with South America and Mexico. So it's a good show so far. So I'm excited about that. And I guess just getting into the fact that we do have Igor. Well, wait, where'd Igor go? Igor's gone. I thought we had I was going to say he was happy to have civilization again, but apparently he lost civilization. And he's back.
Yeah, and there's a lot of wow going on in the chat room. Wowing and wow and wow is what Super
Yeah, I'm with Jack. I don't think I could get back into it at this point. It's been too long.
Well, there. You know what? Here's the thing. This is a geek community. It's for all the geek enthusiasts. It's all for all the nerd aficionados. That's the whole thing with Malice Corp, Malice Cast, all the Malice things. It's about having somewhere that you can go to geek out and nerd out about the things that you want to geek out and nerd out about without stepping on anybody's toes. But if you want to get into WoW, you can look in the chat room. People are talking about how they'll help each other get back into it. Same type of thing. If you're looking to, you just have this, I really want to write articles about what's going on in geekdom and nerddom and stuff like that. Reach out to us. Hit us up on Twitter at MaliceCast, at MaliceCorp. You can hit me up on Twitter at @Mest_MaliceCorp. Let me know, hey, I have this yearning to talk all things nerd, to talk about geek stuff. And we can figure it out and see if you want to come on board to actually write for Malice Corp, because we're looking for people that want to have an interest to write. And that can always lead into other things later where maybe you'll become part of this podcast. So Definitely hit us up and check us out. So that's my obligatory talk about the company for now. So let's get into the main thing of what we're here for, and that is the nerd news, talking about what's going on lately in the nerd headlines and the geek headlines and the pop culture headlines. So first and foremost, the big subject that happened, we got a trailer. We got a trailer for Captain Marvel, came out, a full-on trailer. Reactions, just throw them at me. What do you guys think?
I'm stoked.
It gave you nothing. It gave you nothing.
That's exactly where I was with the super. But
I watched it and I'm like, well, she spoke. She may have lived somewhere. Someone slid on a pole and there was a plane. I mean,
that's the Cliff Notes version of it.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yes. This is the best.
Yes.
From here on out, any trailers we have, I just want Super just to explain like what happened in it.
I will gladly do that job.
That was seriously an explanation of a trailer that had no sound.
Exactly.
Somebody slid down a pole.
Yep. Because there was a random pole, and I'm just like, oh, well, there's someone.
She read the Batman comic, or
Captain Marvel movie. In case you're afraid of what we're talking about when you hear that phrasing, it is not Magic Mike or anything else that has to do with poles.
See, I thought it was great. It gave us the tone of the movie. It gave us some interesting questions without giving really almost anything away. Again, you know, we talked about the costume reveals a couple of weeks ago, and we saw pretty much all of them in action in this trailer. She looks great. She looks like a badass, which she is. You know, Captain Marvel's a badass. And I thought the editing of the trailer was really interesting. I'm not sure if they kept on showing things with, like, you know, a little girl in the process of standing up, and then a young woman in the process of standing up, and then it goes to Captain Marvel standing up. You're like, okay, was that a previous life? Or I don't know. I'm wondering if that's going to be something that we see in the movie, or if it's just the trailer cutting.
I thought, and you guys can chime in with this or let me know, but I thought in the two things that they gave us in that was her talking about having memories of a past life, stuff going on probably with when she was a fighter pilot, and just going, I don't know if these are really my memories or have been embedded into me. But I thought with them showing all those different things, I really think they're showing us the time travel factor that will eventually play into how they fix Infinity War.
Yeah.
That's the take I took from the trailer.
I could see that.
Would be really cool if they did. That would be really cool.
I just want to say that how dope is it that we get to see Nick Fury and freaking Agent Coulson again? Yes. If you guys didn't see it, Coulson was there. I know they've already kind of talked about how they're going to probably write off the fact that the first time you meet Agent Coulson and I think Iron Man or no Thor, this isn't my first rodeo. So maybe this is going to be his first rodeo that we're going to see. And to see Nick Fury, I think that's one thing that they've been lacking with the Marvel movies lately, is we haven't gotten enough Nick Fury. I mean, he's the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I think that's one of the integral parts of the Avengers. And we just haven't seen enough of it. He's only had a couple cameos here and there. And
no, that. He hasn't been the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. since Winter Soldier.
Yeah. I mean, and then it came back at the end of that one and stuff. And I know they did. I think in a couple of prior movies, they had a couple scenes with him, but they cut it out. So I was just excited to see Nick Fury and Agent Coulson coming back. And, I like the fact that they didn't give away any of the movie, because we always talk about that. Every time we've seen trailers, there's either been trailers that just literally dumped the movie in front of you, or like, well, God, you just saved me $15. Thanks. So now you got one that's got my curiosity. I know a little about Captain Marvel. I don't know much about her. I know enough to say that I am a nerd, but I'm not the one that'll sit there and break down her life story. But I am excited to see how it's going to plug in.
Sonamaku refuses to watch it, which makes sense because he does the quest for 100 and he's going to watch the film anyways and doesn't want anything given away.
He should know that based on the first 5 to 10 seconds of that trailer, apparently half the movie takes place in Blockbuster.
Yes, and that actually did make me nostalgic. I went, oh, 90s.
So, okay, product placement. Who gets the money for a Blockbuster product? Yeah.
Nobody.
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 Technically, there's like three or four Blockbusters still open, so maybe they do.
There's one left in Alaska.
In Alaska, yeah.
There's one in Alaska. That's
the one that got all the movie prop stuff.
I think there's still one in Australia, isn't there?
No, I thought it was just Alaska.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Alaska just got paid out bank to
like that one Blockbuster in Alaska is going to blow up.
That guy is like, I'm so glad I kept the name rights.
There was a big boost in sales at that Blockbuster in Alaska. For those of you, and I'm not going to go into the show, but John Oliver bought from Russell Crowe's auction that he did after his divorce. He bought the jockstrap that Russell Crowe wore in Gladiator, right?
And he donated it
to the Blockbuster in Alaska. And apparently it boosted sales. They had lines out the door because everyone wanted to come see this prop from Gladiator.
No, it wasn't from Gladiator. It was from the box.
Cinderella Man is what Senamaku says.
Oh, Cinderella Man. That's
yeah,
it.
Cinderella Man, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Russell Crowe's worn a lot of crap, you know?
Let's go to Blockbuster and check out Russell Crowe's junk strap. It's a sentence that has actually been said by somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it has a scratch and sniff sticker.
Scratch
and sniff sticker. I love Oliver because he does random crap like this.
Is that scratch and sniff snicker?
Yeah, that too. I'm sorry. I was laughing too much trying to say it.
You need a snicker. You become.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think we lost Igor.
Again, once again, it's civilization coming back to him. He probably didn't pay his electric bill while he was out, you know, checking out
Florence
the Himalayas.
Aftershocks.
I'm reaching out to Igor.
Yeah, no, I think Wilson was responsible for his Wi-Fi.
He may have forgotten to charge.
Okay. Well, he brought a story to our attention that this is going to be our new segment of Somebody's Got to Talk About It. The weird, the odd stories that you wouldn't think to look into, but Igor is really good at bringing us those crazy, odd, weird stories. And this one, let me get to the
actual. Wait, Igor, yeah. Crazy, odd stories? No.
It's the quote is, a tormented mother living in Bramford Road with her two young children has been woken on an almost nightly basis by a tinny, distant rendition of It's Raining, It's Pouring. She said the threatening undertone of the song had left her frightened and questioning whether she was imagining things. After months of torment, she finally reported the unusual complaint. Turns out, spiders.
Yep.
What?
Spiders are to blame for every creepy thing happening is what I took from this story.
Spiders are wonderful musicians. They've got all eight legs that they can use.
Except for clowns.
It's a really creepy rendition of this song. If you guys watch this on the YouTube channel later, youtube.com/C/MaliceCorp, I will drop a link to the article below so you can actually hear the rendition. But it's blaring out. It's just children singing, it's raining, it's pouring, the old man is snoring, you know, over this, just pretty much, it looks like a barren.
Creepy nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
He went to bed and bumped his head and couldn't get up in the morning. Was he paralyzed? Did he die?
The thing behind it was they used that recording to, if any intruders came onto the property, it would start playing that in order to scare the intruders and make them leave the property. They didn't realize how loud it was playing.
They should have had it go.
And what was going on was spiders were walking over the cameras and they were causing the song to go off. And then this poor lady is just terrified out of her mind, thinking she's going nuts as well.
She should be terrified because the spiders are coming.
Yeah.
How big are these spiders?
It looks like the beginning of a horror movie where ghost children eat your souls and damn you to hell. Yeah. It's very, very much a Children of the Corn. Even that picture gave me that we saw for the article gave me like a Children of the Corn vibe, because you see the long, it's not corn, but it's just long weeds.
Yeah. I don't think it's the size of the spiders as much as it's the amount of them.
Oh, great. Even better. Yeah. Red Meatball says my sister was pulled out of security at the airport because her luggage was talking. It was her daughter's Fisher Price phone. Nine out of 10 times the buzzing is a toothbrush or a razor.
That's where I wanted to spin this to you guys. So you heard the song. It was creepy. And there's a picture of the spiders too on that article. Igor is coming to us from live somewhere else, talking to us from the great beyond, since he's not here on the
picture. Heat vision picture of the spiders on the lenses. That's creepy.
What is a, give us a nursery rhyme or a song that if you all of a sudden just heard it going, would terrify the heck out of you.
1, 2, Freddy's coming for you.
There you go. Right there, man. That's
the only one you need.
Yeah. Red will appreciate this one. For you guys that remember the episode of Buffy, the Hush, mm-hmm. where they have that little girl singing about the gentleman coming to, you know, they're going to come and they're going to steal stuff. That song still gives me the chills to this day. Because it was, I don't know what that little girl, but she was amazing.
Igor says Hickory Dickory Dock. I'm gonna add in anything done by Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh wow, okay. Not his versions though, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely his versions, especially now when he's like 65.
Yeah, just creepy.
And Polyfuse talking, I'm assuming talking about the old man that bumped his head. He says worse, he woke up married, and Jack is, that's why he couldn't get up. He woke up married and realized that he had just lost half of everything he owns.
Depression is just terrible thing.
Yep, and a set.
Three Blind Mice. Oh, yeah. I could, Jack Mouse's Three Blind Mice would be creepy to hear.
They run. Something with the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
What? Yeah. Why? Super creepy.
Yeah, anything with chills
are never okay.
No. I mean, you know what? I don't even think they have to give rhymes. I just put a bunch of children laughing, and that would creep the hell out of me if I just all of a sudden just out of the blue just hear all these little just children laughing.
Just set up little blonde mannequins in the field with glowing eyes.
I mean, it's just crazy that when you think about some of the nursery rhymes, like Ring Around the Rosie, like people don't realize what that's about. That's
about the plague.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. It sounds great. Hey, Ring Around the Rosie. And then all of a sudden you learn about it when you're in high school and you're like, holy crap, those kids were screwed up. And so were we.
Sorry, Red Meatpod, the Let It Go song. Let it go.
Nice. That's
funny.
Idina Menzel stuck in your head forever.
Ooh, one other thing though, that since we're going kind of Halloween prequel anyway, that Mr. Zorro just reminded me of. You guys want to hear the best Halloween trick I've ever heard?
Oh no.
It wasn't a haunted house, it wasn't elaborate egging. No, nothing of the sort. You're familiar with people who will stock their haunted houses with, you know, with dummies stuffed full, you know, clothes stuffed full of straw and monster masks put on them or put out on the front porch or that kind of thing. The only thing this person did was, it was at the end of a haunted house. The end of the haunted house is where you got the candy, and it wasn't the rest of it. It was the fact that the end of the haunted house was in the attic, and they're sitting in the middle, just on four chairs. There's one dummy in like a Frankenstein's monster sort of get up, another one in the werewolf, another one in the mummy. I think the fourth one might have been a zombie. Two of them actually had people in them that were just sitting there holding candy.
Wow. That's creepy.
And so they wouldn't be able to see a thing because there'd be straw sticking out of their masks and everything, but they'd be able to hear the kids walking in and rustling through the candy, and they just go.
Oh yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah. I love how Igor just like, I'm getting in on this store on this conversation, and just popped right in, to which Polyfuse went, holy hell, who's the hobo? But no, I love that. I'm glad that you're back here, Igor.
I think we lost him again. He's stuck.
No, seriously, did we?
No, he's there.
I think we did.
Oh.
No, he's there, but he's not moving. Oh, there he is.
Okay. Polly, don't be that.
Jack says Mary Quite Contrary is pretty evil when you know what it's about. Sonamaku says Tiptoe Through the Tulips by Tiny Tim.
I need to teach you all what nursery rhymes are.
Enter Sandman by Metallica, huh? Hey.
See, Vader knows. He knows his mother goes. At the end, that's important.
Okay, so the second tidbit, if somebody's going to talk about it, has created an interesting research into Icy Zorro's search history on his computer now.
I can never run for Congress.
The utility bill.
DC Comics it's their black label line, right? Their new line is the black line, I think.
Yeah, it's supposed to be for more mature, like more adult content,
yeah,
more violence, gore, and apparently full frontal nudity.
Yeah, and that's it. It's full frontal nudity for Batman in the comic book, and people are losing their minds. They're going crazy. I have no idea if he's donning the cowl or not in the comic book, but I haven't seen the comic.
Because it looks like Toad from Mario Kart. Wait, no, that's a different one.
But no, the Twitter just went completely nuts on it. We got some interesting
phrasing.
Did Igor say something?
He said he did, phrasing. And
he
took
he
off.
Said it went nuts.
It went nuts.
That was not intended. Okay, but this was intended. They did have some interesting phrasing that was going on with some of the tweets. Alternate titles for Batman: Damn, The Shlong, Halloween, Batman Dark, Dickory. Whatever happened to the Cut Crusader and the Killing Stroke? I love that Twitter just went crazy with what was going on with this. But on the side note, it is themed for a more adult story. Do you think that these type of characters, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, you know, that they should never be put into this scenario where
no.
Wandering eyes can see? I mean, is it really, it should only be meant for those dark characters that are already out there? Do you guys have,
I'm going to let Igor speak on that first, but before he does, I just want to say, I think if you're buying a comic book that's specifically designed for a mature audience, then you know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's the idea, and I think I see where Mess is coming from on this. Is that I get it. It's an adult theme. I mean, I don't want to see Batman's Boy Wonder. However, it's the idea that a kid, it's
Dick Grayson.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I was setting it up for someone. Come on.
Is Batawang.
Oh my god, the phrases that are going to come out today of today's cast is going to be
his bat pull. I mean, seriously, it's the idea that especially in this day and age, I mean, 20, 30 years ago when the internet wasn't happening so well and stuff, you probably could have got away with it easily and kept it separated from kids. Now you're in this day and age where anything, the first day it goes on the market, it's already on the internet because someone's taking a photo of it and say, oh my gosh, look, Batman's dick pic. I mean, that's what it is. So I see where it's coming from on both angles. I really do. I think that people are blowing it up, overdoing it. I think Igor's right. It's for mature people. If you're letting your kid buy that who's under a certain age, then you're not a great parent to go with. And then second of all, though, I understand because the internet is so easily accessed that you can, you know, kids will get to it anyways.
Igor, well, you have the comic, right?
I like where...
Don't show us the picture.
What, this one?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can show us that, but don't show us the other.
But I really like where Vader and Zorro are coming from, but I do have to put on the devil's advocate pants and say that even if a shopper is going into the most conscientious bookstore or comic book store, you know, that staff is on the ball and know exactly what they're recommending to who. If a parent comes in without their kids and doesn't say, well, I'm picking something up for my kids, if they just say, oh, I'm looking for Batman, and they don't know about Black Label yet. You know, and I say that like, oh, they will soon, but you know, there will be some people who still don't, that later down the line. It's kind of why the Vertigo comics, Sandman, Swamp Thing, John Constantine, aka Hellblazer, kind of why those comics were created separately to begin with, not just to be the adults only line, but just in the sense of Batman and Superman and the Flash and Green Lantern and Wonder Woman and Aquaman are known the world over to different extents, but also loved by everybody to different extents. But that absolutely includes millions of adults and children.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is a thing that maybe DC that I think DC did overreact to here in the immediate censoring of it on the digitals and promising, oh, it'll only be censored from here, but maybe they just should have moved it away off of their mainstay character. Yeah. Their mainstay characters. I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense. They're trying to make it realistic. You know, I mean, from what I've read and about it is that something happened where he needed to get out of bats too. It had to be an immediate thing. And, you know, I mean, you know, no one ever, you don't know if he's wearing whatever underneath the bat suit. If you got to take that thing off because there's chemical or something, that makes sense. Of course, their big thing is that in the past, whenever there's been a character in the comic book, any closeness of nudity or anything, it was always perfectly shadowed out that you realize that he was, like when Wolverine escaped, that he was nude, but you weren't seeing anything. So,
Yeah, he always had that perfectly placed
shadow
unit, that box unit.
Oh man, well, if you've seen Dawn Girl, considering Batfleck, the drawing seems to be relatively accurate. I don't know, I don't, it's probably not necessary, but just as a publicity move, look, people are talking about it, even if they immediately, you know, they have further issues are going to be without it, or it's going to be more censored, but. Great PR move, because everybody knows about this issue now.
And that's my fear with it, is do you think that it was partly like, let's do this for the fact that if we have Batman, if we have one of the major three of the DC, whether it be Superman, Wonder Woman, or Batman, have him do it with that, that's really going to make this blow up, as opposed to some offside character that, yeah, it's not gonna get as much notice. Maybe it could still be somebody that's somewhat known, but not like, say you would have had Nightwing, you would have had Dick Grayson do it. Of course,
it's just been a funny pun.
you would have gotten tons of puns, but I mean, just in all honesty, would it have been as much of a huge?
Probably not.
Yes,
it seemed
yes.
like it.
You think Dick it
Grayson,
would be
yes though? With Dick Grayson? Yes, you picked an unfortunately really popular example.
Could you think okay. that? I mean, I think maybe that also DC's tripping out because of the fact that they're about to launch their channel, and this is coming out right before it, so now it's giving it stiff competition.
Dude,
you guys are just looking.
Go to your room.
winner.
As Igor said earlier in our writers' chat, your jokes are bad. You should feel bad.
And Jack, Jack said to your previous point, Masonic, that if you take that tact, then nothing adult would be published.
Absolutely. I mean, once again, I said it from both sides. Do I have an issue with it? Absolutely not. My kid has Batman comics. He's not going to see that one anytime soon because that's my parenting style. So, but ultimately I don't care. I thought, like I mentioned a minute ago, it brought a more realistic tone to the comic book. Yeah. I mean, I think that's really gearing toward people who want to see a comic book that actually looks more realistic, kind of like how with the Dark Knight series, Batman wasn't going in every series, just kicking everyone's butt. In the last series is going around with a cane until he freaking, in the movies, and until he gets everything fixed up and it shows his wear and tear. So I think that's what it's kind of leading toward, is more of a realistic, if Batman was real in this world and that happened, that's what would happen.
That's actually exactly the intent. Like, yeah. Well, almost exactly. The whole point behind Black Label is to be the no holds barred titles, not just adults only, but in the, all right, creative teams, you want to do it, you get greenlit for it if you're here.
So their focus was to go a step beyond what Vertigo ever was, is what it sounds
like. Well, it's actually...
Vertigo was this is just the adult frame of things, but if you're saying it's that no-holds-barred thing, that was... Vertigo still had there's a certain level you go to and then you stop.
Well, not even like graphic content sense, but more like, you know, picture, you know, Batman in Gotham in space. That's where Black Label's where it'll be happening. That kind of thing too. It's literally the all bets are off on everybody, but none of it's canon imprint.
Yeah. Okay.
Like the actual plot is really cool. I recommend looking at
the plot is amazing.
I recommend looking into it.
I'm sure there's the plot's amazing, but it gets overshadowed. And that's some of the problem that I have. Like, yes, great for PR publicity for DC to let people know about this story and this item, and getting people to keep an eye out for what's coming out in this label. But at the same time, it gets overshadowed by like how great is the story. And that's really where the focus should be is if it's a good story or not.
Apparently not shadowed enough.
And here's the thing. If you want to see if it's a good story or not, definitely two ways that you can do this. Reach out to our friends, Turbo Comics. They're the premier shop in Idaho. Max is a great guy over there. He will help you find the stuff that you're looking for. Turbo Comics on Facebook, or look him up on Twitter at Turbo Comics ID. Max is part of the Comics for All podcast as well. So if you want to listen to the Comics for All episodes of the podcast, make sure to head over to malice-corp.com or look him up on Stitcher or iTunes. And if you want to get any old trade paperbacks, you can also head over to our website, click on the Amazon links, and pick up stuff from Amazon, or you can just have Max ship it to you. But make sure you support your local comic book shops. Reach out to them. They'll help you find the stuff that you're looking for. But with that said, let's move on to the last topic, because we have about 20 minutes left, and I think this is one that we will talk quite significantly about. We got our first look at the Joker origin, Joaquin Phoenix in this role, the Todd Phillips directed film. And I'm going to go look for these photos to show you guys, but I wanted to get kind of your guys' reactions to how this is looking so far, what we saw.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it gives me hope that it's going to be a movie that's actually worth watching. Like the way that they're showing him, even just in screen tests and photos so far, I'm like, okay, I'm interested.
The thing I kind of seen about it so far is it's a different take than what we're used to. We're always thinking of the Joker being some kind of criminal mastermind since day one. And so far to me, it almost looks like he's playing a Joker that's just a regular dude that somehow converts. I mean, I'm not familiar with this origin story. I from what I've read a little bit, it's another take of the Joker series. And when I see the pictures of him, I saw the photos this morning of him in paint, and how they did that Instagram video that Phillips did. I dogged on it. I'm going to eat crow. I looked at that and I saw a little bit of the photos. I'm actually excited to see what kind of take they're going to do with it. It's definitely not what we know as far as what is the main. To me, at least, it doesn't look like it. It's not. Right.
Yeah, this is not a stylized Cesar Romero or Jack Nicholson Joker. This is classic clown paint.
Actually, yeah. It's funny you should mention that, because my favorite thing about that makeup test is if you look at it closely, I swear, like the film strip portion, I swear the combination of the way the hair is styled in the film strip and that suit that he's wearing looks almost like it was deliberately supposed to imply Cesar Romero's Joker design.
Mm-hmm. Which I think
would be kind of a beautiful way to make him more unsettling, because that was the huggable, you know, cutesy sort of Joker.
Right, no, I can see a callback to it, but like I said, it's not stylized in the way that Romero was. It's much more of like a, you know, a early 20th century, you know, circus clown. Mm-hmm. But even better than that, I really enjoyed the picture of him just as he is before he turns over into the Joker. Like, that's just a dude that looks sad and kind of defeated.
Yeah,
and I think that's really interesting.
And then you get that creepy painted on smile, and yeah.
Like, he has a windowless van with a bag full of candy, actually. That's what I kind of get from that. That's, yeah.
This is a dude that you have definitely run into in a church basement with bad coffee at a meeting.
You know? Yeah, I'm trying to get the worst part.
You guys want to know the worst part?
Uh-oh. Yes.
And have you heard his name?
Yeah, it's an
Alex or something?
Arthur something.
Yeah,
I don't remember it.
Yeah, Arthur.
What's his
A Affleck.
Affleck. Yeah, no, I picked up on that.
Yeah. Ah, hey. So. 6 degrees of separation going on there, uh-huh. buddy.
That's funny.
I'm just saying, somebody was feeling awful clever when they wrote that script.
That's hilarious. That's Todd Phillips. Todd Phillips is actually pretty quick with.
Isn't he the guy that directed Old School?
Yeah, and
the Hangover movies,
Hangover films. He did War Dogs, which I War Dogs was a fantastic film. I think a little underrated on it. But here's what Joaquin looks like as his character that's just done. he's a has-been kind of a comedian is basically the word on the street that we're getting for his character so far.
Yeah, that's a guy that no longer gets to see his kids on the weekend.
No, that's like the guy that's just about to become a serial killer.
Yeah. And that's how you kind of see all the photos. And this is the thing, is I'll pop the photos up here when you watch this on YouTube.com, pointing out some of the stuff that was being said in the chat room, especially by Son of Maku, who said to pick up The Joker by Brian Azzarello, amazing book to check out. And he said it's being used as a main source material for this. And it's a John Wayne Gacy style makeup. And he loves it. It's so creepy. And I think that's what I wanted from this when we first talked about this origin story being made. I was like, I remember you, Icy Zorro, saying, why do we need an origin story? Why Joker doesn't need an origin story. But I was talking about how much of it's going to be Joker. And I really think we're going to get this crazy, whacked out guy that just paints his face like a clown for, I say, about 80% of the film. I don't think we're going to see him as the actual Joker that you're used to seeing of having his face manipulated until the last 20-30 minutes of the film max.
Yeah, I could see that.
So my question about this is, with how DC is right now, what do you think their plans are going to be with this? Because I the funny thing about this is, as I'm starting to hear more about this and reading more about this, we were 3 months ago bitching and complaining about the fact that DC, all their movies are so dark and that they're all this and that. And I've grown up with a Joker that was evil and maniacal, but at the same time, I don't think was necessarily like a dark character, if you want to call it that. Like, people like the Joker. I mean, Jack Nicholson's play a character of it, Cesar Romero. I mean, the closest we got to dark was Heath Ledger. And even that, I don't think it had necessarily a dark, but it was a playful kind of thing. So what we're seeing here is
playful dark. Yeah.
Yeah. But now we're seeing, to me, it almost seems like this is going totally dark. And then after this movie is done, are we going to see him again? Is this trying to set up for something where we go, Justice League versus, you know, Legion of Doom or whatever? I don't know. I mean, this is kind of confused me with DC's future, I guess. Now
I think that this is them doing their Elseworlds type of thing, where it's like, hey, we have a great story. If you have somebody that is a pretty well-known director, writer, and remember, producing on this, I unless he fell out of it, was Scorsese was producing. So if you have two big names. Todd Phillips is a big name now. And Scorsese going, hey, we want to make a Joker film. You go, okay.
Well, the way the article describes it is that it's going to be a new kind of cinematic endeavor for the DC Comics mythology. It stars Joaquin Phoenix, obviously. Joker is a standalone movie that is working off a significantly smaller budget compared to other comic book movies and has been described as a character study.
And fantastic. I want more of that.
Yeah.
Give us character. Give us those smaller films. Those are the better films. Those are the, when you're, that's how you get people back into these comic book characters, is drive with character driven stories, not just flashy action. And that's, I think, the problem that was had with DCEU was they thought, let's go big. We'll make it dark and realistic. Let's go big on things. Let's do a Michael Bay epic. And that's not what people want.
It's Zack Snyder, just in general. That's all you need to say.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what kills me about the DCEU stinkers. The man can frame a shot like nobody. Even his most vitriolic critics, say, dang, Snyder's visuals, dang. But since when do epic and gloomy go well together?
Never.
Well, I think it's all...
I don't. do that.
You got to give them, I think the problem with DC is they don't give them a chance. Like, I mean, you got to look. The reason why Marvel is so successful is because they started with one director with Iron Man and Jon Favreau, who was able to continue it. And then even when he didn't do the next movie, he was still interacting and engaged in a lot of the movies as a producer or even an actor and everything like that. So Marvel has found the secret to where, hey, if you find somebody, don't F with it. You know, just make it, let them do their job. And Zack Snyder has proven to be able to be successful, and he did. And I know people dump on Man of Steel, but when you compare it to Superman Returns or Superman 4 or anything like that, Man of Steel actually held up pretty solid, compared, especially since up until then we had no real basis of Superman other than what we saw on television through Smallville and everything like that. So I think he did all right. The problem is they pulled the plug on Snyder before he can continue the universe and kind of frame it.
I would say that more than Favreau, Kevin Feige is responsible for the success of the MCU. Mm-hmm. He's been the mastermind of the whole arcs, you know, the different phases. That's all him. He's the guy that's got it all in his head.
I like on staff, Feige, for God's sake.
Yeah, they're talking about hearing you, yeah, Igor. How softly speaking, you're just creeping out, Jack Mellis.
Holly Fuse is just obsessed with your beard right now.
Yeah,
guys, you're welcome. I'll be much cheaper than seeing the Joker movie.
He said, "Holy crap, this guy looks like Yukon Cornelius."
So some of the other notes that came with Joker, and I think this is just news that comes better and better in my opinion. I mean, one of them I'm not as big on, but this was the one I wasn't as big on. Brett Cullen is replacing Alec Baldwin in the role of Thomas Wayne. I would have loved to see Alec Baldwin playing Thomas Wayne.
Great.
Would have been interesting. So, but that was quick, wasn't it? Like, they announced him and then they were like, oh no, psych, he's not gonna do it, you know.
Yeah, weird. We've got Bradley Cooper coming on as producer, so
okay.
He's getting really into the behind the scenes stuff. He's got A Star Is Born, which he's still in front of the camera, but he's directing it, coming out, and then now he's producing. I think he wants to attach himself to big high quality projects. So I hope that's giving me more hope, is that he's attaching himself here. And then we got confirmation that Robert De Niro is joining the cast. So
that should be good. That should be really good.
I like what they're doing, because they have one person as the main cast. They don't have four other people. I know Robert De Niro is a big cast, but I don't think he's going to be like in the movie 90% of the time, like Joaquin Phoenix will. So I think I'm liking the direction they're going.
Would you call him
Joaquin Phoenix? Because I can't say his name. How about that?
Joaquin.
Yeah, I'll take that too. So Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin. Like, yeah.
Like, yeah, that guy too. Or Gladiator. I like how they're focusing him and everyone around him is kind of filling Joaquin the character as well.
What? Hold on. We're getting over this point. Do you call walking jockeying as well? It's essentially the same.
No. Jockeying is walking, but just slightly faster.
So yeah, before I die of sad, Red Meepaw, have a good night. It was nice having you. Good to see you.
Seriously, you guys are giving me crap about this. And about 10 minutes ago, we were having every other freaking way of saying the bat pole. Come on.
Fine. I love stuff like this, because it means that we're going to have some great moments for the best ofs when they start coming out in about 2 months from now.
Yeah, you know, Joaquin and his brother Refair.
I'm just going to call him Jean-Luc Picard Phoenix.
From there you go.
Quit being a dick, Grayson, all right?
Go slide down a pole somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. We also have Zazie Beetz in the film, which I loved her in Deadpool 2. So I thought I was awesome. Glad to see her in this. Bill Camp, which I haven't seen Red Sparrow or Molly's Game. I'm sure Sonomaku or Beacon can tell us how he is. Francis Conroy, Brett Cullen, Glenn Fleshler, Douglas Hodge, Mark Marone. God, I love Mark that Mark Maron? Maron's casting Maron. Yeah, Maron. Okay. I love that Mark. Hey, at least I can pronounce it after.
Maron? All right.
Maron. Mark, I love that Mark Maron's cast in this as well. Josh Pies and Shea Wingham. The cast sounds fantastic. And you've got Scott Silver as well, who did The Fighter, joining in with Phillips on it. It's sounding like it's going to be probably, it may be the best DC film.
We'll see. Yeah.
You're talking DC now. Come on now. Joaquin Phoenix can't save everything.
Hey,
there it is.
But Nick Cage can. No.
we were so close.
Hey, now
Michael, I was waiting for it.
Now, I'm not trying to get off topic, but every time I see Mess talking, okay? Now, Mess, do me a favor, man. Talk, but turn your head to the left a little bit, please. No, the other. Your left, sir. Okay. So when you're looking at that wonderful hat and not knowing it's Ghostbusters, I almost look like that's some kind of a prop from Something About Mary. That's what I'm seeing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
That's where we're at. The top right. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yep. It's like,
is that Moose?
Is that Moose?
Yes. Okay. Moving on. So, based off of the stuff that we've gotten, videos and the announcement of cast, where do you guys rate? Do you think this falls in to the upper echelon of stuff that we're starting to get from DC? Do you think that this could surpass that, go into, say, Dark Knight territory? Or do you think this is going to end up dropping down to Suicide Squad level?
No.
It won't be that bad. It won't nearly be that bad.
Joaquin Phoenix, I don't think is too
it'll
talented.
Be as good. I don't think it'll be as good as a Dark Knight, but it could fall in between the Dark Knight, Wonder Woman, and the first Batman with the Bale.
Yeah, Polyfew says it has a chance, and I think that's basically the best way to look at it. It has potential.
I mean, unfortunately, you know, with how DC's been, I mean, we do have, fortunately, Aquaman and Wonder Woman coming around and stuff. So I'm interested to see if it could salvage it. To me, it looks like they're trying to obtain Nolan status again with going that, because that's probably been, outside of Wonder Woman itself, has been probably one of the more successful film runs they've had. And so I think they're trying to reattach to that in some sort or another. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about some of the stuff I'm seeing so far. But outside of Wonder Woman, I don't know if I could totally jump in on that all the way, just because of the simple fact that they just haven't been able to prove stability as much as I want them to. I really do think DC has the better character side to things and the longevity, but they just can't pull it together.
Okay. I am going out and I will, what is today's date? September 21st, 2018. I will go out and I will say this will be the best DC movie since Dark Knight.
It could be.
I say it will be.
So I'm leaning. Yeah.
So
I think it has a very good shot of doing it.
And that's, Polyfuse brings off a perfect point. Joaquin Phoenix is batshit crazy, so I think he can pull it off, and he's a nutso, and he can do a fantastic job.
Remember when he's pretended to be,
you know, he's not like Jared Leto pretending to be crazy leading up to Suicide Squad. He actually is certifiably.
Yeah, you remember when he pretended for like a year that he was going to be a rapper or something and made a fake documentary with James Franco?
I know.
Yeah, dude's nuts.
Igor, what do you think?
I don't know. I thought that was kind of awesome. Hard to say how it was, but I think that's kind of awesome.
But what do you think that this movie will fall?
I feel like it's going to be a bad DC movie and an excellent crime drama.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it's going
to be... So not a great comic book film.
I feel like it's really going to miss the mark for the comic book sources, except for the really, really casual readers. I think we're going to get a high-quality movie, so maybe it'll get them interested, and it'll get them interested with the quality of the piece. And say, like, okay, I do want to read more Batman comics, but do I think it's going to be a really entertaining translation? No. Do I think it's going to be a really good crime drama movie that has DC Comics Joker stamped on it for some reason? Yeah.
Okay. I could see that as well. We'll find out. I'm going on record. So that's that's me. But we
time stamped and everything.
We're short last week and people were mad at us because we didn't stay longer to talk with everybody. And today we have gone the full circle. We have hit that 9 o'clock. We have gone probably beyond it now. Thank you guys for joining us on tonight's cast and talking all things nerd with us. We had some other stuff that we wanted to discuss. Big one being Disney streaming, talking about bringing on some of their known actors to actually play the characters they've played, Loki, Tom Hiddleston. But you can see the article for that over on Facebook at the Malice Cast, All Things Nerd website.
The Michael B. Jordan thing looks interesting.
Yeah. I'll drop the links for the Facebook post for the Facebook channel to follow us and to talk with us and to tell us the things that you want to see us talk about in the comments below. If you're watching this on YouTube, let's talk about where we can follow everybody. Once again, I'm going to go right down the line as I see it here now. So Icy Zorro, where can we follow you outside of this cast?
At Icy Zorro on Twitter, Instagram, and PlayStation Network, where I will shortly be playing Spider-Man, much to my heart's content.
Nice. Super, where can we follow you?
You follow me on Twitter at SuperUvianNut, and then you can follow me on Instagram at SuperUvianFreak. I might be on Twitter after this cast. I don't know. Probably going back on World of Warcraft.
And will you help walk people through World of Warcraft if they want help?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I will tell them all the secrets.
There you go. You want to tell them your character name?
For bags. Look you up?
Yeah. What is my handle? I don't remember what my global handle is, but I'm currently playing a monk called Melisende on Silverhand.
I was going to call it Polly for a second. He's like, Jim Carrey, Joker's still my fave. I was like, wait. He says, Riddler. Okay. Igor, where can we follow you outside of this cast?
Yeah. I love helping out on the Comics for All Twitter at All for Comics. And you can find me on PlayStation Network as Harris_Doubledon and as Igor on malice-corp.com.
Hold your horses, Jack. Masonic, where can we follow you?
You can follow me on Masonic Vader on Instagram, Masonic Vader 71 on PlayStation. And of course, like I always mention, because we're the new guys, definitely check us out, Malice Smack Talk on Twitter and YouTube.
Awesome. And make sure to head over to malice-corp.com and check out all of our podcasts. The links for all of them are on malice-corp.com. And while you're there, if you want to help us out, make sure to click on those Amazon links if you're going to be purchasing stuff from Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, that means you have Twitch Prime, which means it is September and you can subscribe to this channel. Help us out. It's $1 to do an extended for the first month subscription. And we get the full amount back to us versus you only pay $1. It definitely helps us out. Thank you so much for supporting small streamers. If you would like to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at @mest_malicecorp, or you can follow me on my personal vlog over on Geek Guidepost on YouTube, or follow Twitter at Geek Guidepost. I have posting of what happened at Halloween Horror Nights on the first Saturday of the month, with some videos of the mazes and stuff coming up there. You can follow our producer, Jack Malice, at @Jack_Malice on Twitter. And I will close out with my phrasing first and then close out with what Jack wants for the closing. So you guys keep nerding on.
Really?
And thank you for joining us, because I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, I just shout, cut the feed. Cut it.
What is happening?